For the teaching tonight, I want to speak about the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. So if you turn to Leviticus 23 and verse 33 to 44, which we read already in our Bible readings. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offering, everything on its day, besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts, besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings which you give to the Lord. Also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the 8th day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches of palm trees and boughs of leafy trees, willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. This feast is the third and final one of the fall feasts. And what we find is it's an 8-day harvest festival, effectively, which is occasionally referred to as a Zeman Simchatenu, or the season of our rejoicing. That's what it means. In which 7 days of continuous rejoicing and celebrations are followed by a solemn assembly on the 8th day. Now the 8th day is called Shemini Atzeret, or the Assembly of the 8th. The scripture says that Israel is to live in booths to remind them of their wilderness journeys from Egypt to the Promised Land. In traditional Judaism of that time, 70 bulls were sacrificed, which represent the 70 Gentile nations of Genesis 10. It is a fact that this feast on the 15th day of Tishri was never kept after Joshua, until it was reinstated again by Nehemiah. It is traditional to celebrate this feast with 4 spices, which are 3 types of branches and a fruit. The fruit is the citron or etrog, and the branches are palm, myrtle and willow. There is 1 palm which is tied to 3 myrtle branches, and which is tied to 2 olive branches. Then it is waved, especially during the prayer for rain, as this now is the beginning of the latter rain season. This is called a love lav. And what they do is they wave it when they pray. They were all there waving the palm branches when Jesus went into the city, if you remember. That's exactly what they were doing. and they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, come and save us, come and save us." So that's where. Now let's look at the third fruit. This is the citron or etrog, which is the fruit that symbolizes the fruit of the promised land, and is considered to be the most important symbol, as it has both fragrance and fruit. You see, the myrtle has fragrance but no fruit, and the willow has neither fragrance or fruit. However, the citron or the etrog has both fragrance and fruit. So that's why it's chosen, and that's why it is so popular and is the most important symbol. Now, there were in this time two key ceremonies which were practiced during the temple period of the time of Jesus. The first was the pouring out of the water, in which the priest marched down the Kidron Valley to the pool of Siloam. He then had pitchers, vast jars, which were filled, and with water, in which the priest, he then had these big jars filled with water, and then he marched back up the Temple Mount, and as they all marched back behind him, they went up the 15 steps that went on up to the temple compound, and they sang the Psalm of Ascents, and that Psalm's 120 to 134, that's called the Psalms of Ascents. The water was then poured out into the great big lava that was in the middle of the compound, and that's where they filled, that's how they filled it, and the priest poured it in, and when he did, there was great rejoicing. Why? Well, it was said to be a symbol to the Jewish people of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Israel, as the prophets had predicted. But it was at this ceremony that Jesus, Yeshua, in John 7 and 37, 39, at this same feast, cried out, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believes in me, as the scriptures have said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water." It was during this time that that's what he said. You can imagine the priest coming up the hill. They sung all the psalms and they poured the water, and just as they did that, Jesus cried this out in the temple compound. You can almost imagine what they must have thought about him. They either listened to what he says or thought he was mad, one of the two, because you wouldn't dare to interrupt a service like that. So even then, Jesus was crying out for his people and the outpouring of the Spirit. He was the great high priest that was meant to fulfill this scripture, and the prophets had spoke of him. We can read that in Isaiah 55:1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." This is what the prophets had warned them about. 12:3, and Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. The second of these ceremonies is called the lighting of the lampstands. These were huge great menorahs at either end of the temple compound. These things were solid brass and gold overlay. Massive great things. The whole of Jerusalem was filled with light when these were lit. And it was here that John, and what they used to do was, the priests would take their old clothes off that they'd worn, the ceremonial robes and that, and the young men would try and get a chance to be the ones that put them in the top of these great menorahs, in the holes in the top on the seven branches. They would get step ladders, put them up, and wedge all these clothes in there, fill them full of oil and soak them so that when they lit them, they would blaze. They would blaze. And the young men used to race to do this, and it was a great honor for the young men to do this, to burn the priest's robes before the Lord. So, it was here in this ceremony that in John 8 verse 12, Yeshua said, again entering the temple compound, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." This was also the symbolism of the outpouring of the brightness of the Holy Spirit, spoken by the prophet Joel in Joel 2:28. And it was fulfilled in Acts 2. So you can imagine the ceremony again. Jesus comes in and interrupts the ceremony while they're going through the whole thing and the things are lit. And Jesus began to cry out right across the temple compound. It would have echoed right round. The acoustics would have been wonderful in there. And they would have heard everything that he said. They probably wouldn't have understood, but they would have heard him. So the Feast of Tabernacles is fulfilled by the establishment of the Messianic Kingdom. This is when this kingdom is set up. It will be the kingdom set under kingdom law. Under the Mosaic law, this feast was all only for Jewish people. But under kingdom law, all Gentiles as well will have to send a delegation to give account to its king and to celebrate this feast. It is perhaps the only one of the feasts that will remain in the millennium, as we can read it in Zechariah 14 and verse 16 to 19. Let's just read that, because that is a lovely scripture. Zechariah 14 and verse 16 to 19. Zechariah 14. I'm here, nearly there. Verse 16. "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." This is one of the only feasts, there are only two, I think, that are kept in the millennium reign. All the others are left behind, not used. This ear Israel will be the head once again and not the tail. And this is what Ezekiel had in his vision of Ezekiel 37. We can quickly turn to that. Ezekiel 37. And verse 26. He says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will pour my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again to bear the reproach of famine among the nations." So that's a blessing that God was going to bring again back to Israel. And this is one of the reasons why this is also one of the major festivals, as it also leads into Simchat Torah, or, as it's pronounced in English, the rejoicing of the law. You see, the time when the people of God thank the Lord for the gift of his word. As they finish the yearly reading cycle, after rejoicing, they start all over again to read from the beginning of the Bible again, and they start reading. And thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. And that explains them. This is a wonderful feast, and we'll explain a bit more about it. The American Pilgrim Fathers were so inspired by this feast, the Feast of Sukkot, to pattern the holiday of Thanksgiving after it. That's why the Americans have Thanksgiving as opposed to Christmas. And Simchat Torah is also one extra day that we Messianic believers can use to thank God for his precious word. And I think it would be a great feast day for us to keep as Messianic believers. There are 7 days within the week of Tabernacles. Then the 8th day is called Simchat Torah, the rejoicing of the law. So there is a story that the rabbis tell of a great king whose children all worked away from home, and he simply loved it when they came home for these celebrations. They tell the story that he liked having them at home so much that he gave them an extra day to spend in his presence. And this, they say, is God wanting us so bad he has made an extra day to share our company. Isn't that special? And that's another reason why Messianics should keep this law, Simchat Torah. It's a beautiful time, and it's a time of rejoicing in the synagogues. They dance all over the floor after they've lifted the law, and they put the cloth that goes around the ark with the Torah scrolls in. They hold it in the air, and the men and all the other men, the priests that is, they all hold it in the air on four corners, and all the men from the congregation rush underneath it with their children to get a blessing from under the Torah scroll, under the cloth. I just forget the name of it now, but that's one of the blessings of Simchat Torah. But Jesus is our blessing. He has put a blessing over us all, and he has given us his precious word. And it's not just a word that is sacred and holy, it's also a word that lives. It lives in your heart and it lives in my heart. It makes the difference when you're down, it lifts you up. It makes the difference when you want wisdom, it gives you that wisdom. As I said earlier, his word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It encourages me and it encourages you, and it makes us the believers we ought to be, because in Christ Jesus there is wisdom, knowledge and sanctification, and we get all that from him. And that's why he said, behold, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. He is the word, he is the great Torah incarnate that came to bless the people of God. And so as we continue with our service, we rejoice in this time together, not only the time of Tabernacles, which as I said will also continue in the millennium reign, but also in this time of Simchat Torah, thanking God for his word.